There was a manga that came out quite a while ago that was generally about shogi players. This manga turned into an anime, and the anime was fairly popular. It did, I believe, 2 seasons, and it sprawled into having at least 2 different movies. Now, I believe this actually comes from a light novel, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not too sure. But this story is called March Comes In Like a Lion. You know, whether or not you want to look up the Japanese name, it was just like three gatsu something, blah, 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 blah. Sengatsu no Ryan, something like that. But the story revolves around a boy by the name of Ray Kiriyama. Ray essentially is this socially awkward boy who was adopted after his parents and his little sister died in a tragic car accident. And he was adopted by a man who essentially was truly and generally only interested in him because he could play shogi. The boy basically just had a natural talent at playing shogi. And essentially, he saw this from a young age as the only reason he was in the family in the first place. So he was adopted into the family in the first place. How you feel about that is up to your discretion as the story goes on. But essentially, the way how the family and how the world that he was raised in essentially functioned, you kind of get the feeling that he was correct in assuming that in order for him to have a home or a place to stay. But that's not really the main point. The story typically revolves around the fact that Ray is incredibly socially awkward. He's dealing with a lot of depression and trauma in his daily life because of the household that he grew up in from the adopted family. It was very, what's a good word? It was very disheartening because he made the other children in the family, who are actually the biological children, feel inferior to him, rather than why he essentially was put on a pedestal and forced to play a game that he generally didn't really have that much interest in playing. But in order to appease the father that adopted him in the first place, he kind of kept with it more, so much to a point that it actually became a career. And this aspect of the series was basically a huge eye-opener, because I haven't seen this except for the series Hikaru no Go, that dealt with a professional traditional game and that aspiring into a career and whatnot. But Hikaru no Go was set up like a typical laid-back shonen, so it didn't really get gritty or as deep or as detailed as in the hierarchy, or to make it as interesting as the actual hierarchy itself went in terms of having a professional career in playing these types of games. And shogi is basically a whole other demon. And essentially, this series itself makes the entire concept of shogi really interesting and fun. Far more than like chess or anything like that, because of the concept of the strategy and things like that that is displayed within shogi. I'm not saying like, you know, one is superior or anything like that. Like I said, Hikaru no Go was interesting because it's a very simplistic game, but to see how much acclaim and how thought-provoking it was to see people who are naturally gifted and someone else working to aspire to a level and other things like that. Like, yeah, it was cool. But March Comes In Like a Lion, you're dealing with a character who essentially understands the game, and the professionalism is instilled in you in the very beginning of this understanding. And what I mean by professionalism is essentially how that world functions, not in the sense of finding a rival and going against them, making bold challenges, going to tournaments and then winning every now and again. Like, no, the main character, he can train, he can study, he can research, and sometimes he loses, sometimes he wins. It doesn't really change the fact that this is his job, this is his career, and he doesn't really let it hold so much weight over him as you would think. But the implications mentally and how they affect him are greatly showcased within the story. And that's actually something I really appreciate and I like about the story of March Comes In Like a Lion. Now, getting all of this is basically a prerequisite to understand exactly where the true story lies. So this isn't actually a story about Shogi. It teaches you Shogi, which is cool. But the actual story pertains around the fact that, if I'm to read a summary, Kiriyama's parents and younger sister died in an accident in his childhood. Then he started living with a family who was a friend of his father. Reaching adulthood, Ray left his foster family thinking he was only causing trouble. How he now lives alone and has few friends. Among his acquaintances are three sisters of the Kawamoto family, Akira, Hinata, and Momo. As the story progresses, Ray deals with his maturation. That's a weird word to put right there. Both as a professional shogi player and as a person, all while strengthening his relationships with other, particularly the Kawamoto sisters. So that summary actually is kind of whack if it was to show interest in it. Let me try. Okay. The story is actually based around the fact that Ray himself deals with being who he is and how he got to where he is in a incredibly pitiful state. He has barely any friends. He does not socialize. His world just revolves around Shogi because that's all he's ever known and that's all he ever felt that he should be appreciated for or has been appreciated for. He's never really tried to branch out on his own or do anything else. He accepts the world that he is in and he kind of just rolls with the punches. Upon meeting the three Kawamoto sisters, his life gradually begins to change. The slump that he normally found himself in basically had a bright spot. He would generally meet with them and upon talking with them, learning about different aspects of their lives and how hard they have it and correlation to him, considering that the three sisters only have each other and I believe their grandfather, while their parents actually passed away and their grandmother. And it's like all of them have passed away and their grandmother. Their mother passed away and their grandmother and their father abandoned them. So upon dealing with that and meeting them, getting to know them, as well as having them show him that it's okay to open up, to talk to people, to feel something, to, you know, feel pride in what you do, feel jealous when you're supposed to feel jealous, get angry when you should get angry, but not hide yourself away and just kind of go through life as this walking nothing, actually inspires him and changes him as a person that allows him to actually grow both as a man and as a shogi player. And in the world that he lives in, dealing with the trauma and the emotional depression that he goes through, they are a giant, nice change of pace within the story, as well as amazingly fun characters to see him interact with and just deal with an overall heartwarming story that any and everyone should could appreciate. The problem with March Comes In Like a Lion after giving this very long explanation is the fact that March Comes In Like a Lion drops the ball at one point in time within the story. The story is really how everything progresses and how it comes to be is fine. It's generally very fine. But at a certain point, it kind of loses the plot. You see, after a while, March Comes In Like a Lion is similar to the downfall that was Hey Arnold. What do I mean by that? Well, Hey Arnold initially was a story about this cool kid named Arnold. And if you ever watched Hey Arnold, or if you are a fan of it or whatnot, then you would know that eventually at some point in time, Hey Arnold stopped becoming the different antics or the stuff or the people that Arnold would interact with and the different situations that he would get himself in and being this nice, cheery, like fun-loving guy who could turn a negative into a positive in any type of moment or situation. A kid who essentially could get bullied, who could get bullied, also get pressured into fighting someone that he didn't want to fight, or be or learn or do skills and things like that. Essentially, you wouldn't even think that he would be interested in, but he is. And then it evolved into a series that was about Arnold being a busybody that constantly wanted to help everyone and anyone, regardless if they asked or not. And that was a bad thing. The show stopped becoming interesting. The different antics that Arnold got in were fleeting. And then all of a sudden, every side character that was ever introduced into the series had some deep, troubling situation or problem going on that Arnold desperately needed to solve. And if he didn't, then God help us all. And it had to end. It needed to end because it was just so, ugh. But March Comes In Like a Lion reminds me greatly of this, as March Comes In Like a Lion is a story that's about Ray, the main character, the main guy, and him dealing with his multitude of problems, because he has a multitude of problems, while also retaining and keeping a healthy relationship with the three sisters, who essentially ground him as a person and allow him to evolve as a person. And once you take that aspect away from the series, then it becomes fucking uninteresting. It started to eventually showcase different emotional problems and the deep disillusions that other characters had outside of Ray. And then you just go into long spiels of him explaining the detailed and the horrible personality traits, or the crazy depression, or just how much this might mean to this person. And then you're supposed to be led to believe that this is all a growing concept or a growing moment for Ray himself. But we just went into a giant autobiography of a whole nother character who honestly just met Ray, and he really shouldn't be that focused on. And once the story started progressing into this way, then eventually everything just started going downhill. And the actual offender that dropped the entire ball has to include with the arc that deals with the second sister dealing with being bullied in school. Now, if you know anything about the bullying situation that happens in most media that showcases Eastern type stuff, so in both in China, Japan and Korea, their bullying in like high school and middle school is terrible. Like, the shit gets to the point where a lot of people sometimes commit suicide for the stuff, and then they're still mocked and ridiculed after their death. Usually no justice is served. And then if you sit there and equate the whole parent hierarchy or money being pushed around type situation, then you really don't get anything ever being accomplished or done. So that's always been apparent within their different forms of media and things like that. So when the series itself tried to lean towards that aspect of a story plot, it was very much so out of place, but also something that essentially wasn't really necessary. It was a story to be told, don't get me wrong, but it just didn't feel right within this story. But the context or the overall theme that should have been equated throughout the rest of it, that I actually enjoyed when it applied to Ray, was the fact that this was something that the middle sister was going through. And no matter what, her older sister couldn't help. They don't really have any parents that could help back up or anything. She's kind of dealing with this on her own, and more so is going through the emotional struggle of being put in this situation, considering that she's only a middle school girl. So she breaks down and cries and feels tearful about everything. But at the same time, she also puts on a brave face, and she sticks up for what she believes in, considering that she's being bullied by as a byproduct of helping someone else who was also getting bullied. And then that person happened to move, and then she became the target of the bullies themselves, in which they just continuously, relentlessly picked on her. So one of the main things that pops up within this part of the story is the fact that it's made terribly apparent to the main character, Ray, that he cannot do anything in this situation. He is utterly useless. And I love that fact because it brought it home to the fact that, like, as much as you might want to help and protect these people that you care about, there are some things that you just can't do, regardless of how much you might want to. You see someone that you love clearly hurting. You see that they're in a position that they just can't fix, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that is such a real sentiment and a real concept that I greatly acknowledge that aspect of the story, and I really enjoyed it. Now, how the story itself summed up and tried to fix this little arc that they had within the story was essentially breaking down that the teacher essentially went all crazy from the stress of the bullying and how it was being brought to her attention and nothing was happening to it. Essentially, and then from her outburst, the school then had to take action because obviously this was now being a serious issue and a matter. This then led to the bullying itself ceasing and then proper things being dealt in order to stop the actual actions of the bullying. And then essentially the girl approached Ray, who felt cheated out of the fact that he couldn't do anything to help her when he so desperately wanted to, because he could so desperately see that she was hurting. And she essentially approaches him and lets him know that him wanting to help her, him being there for her when she needed him to be, when she wanted to cry, and him being a shoulder for her to cry on, for her to let out all the stress of dealing with this, and him being there to take it with her, you know, that was all the help she needed. And yeah, it was kind of a cop-out way to deal with that situation, considering that it is such a big hot button issue within especially Japan. And there really is no clear answer to deal with that situation that I could see ever being prominent within any other story that deals with that. Hell, most shonen and things like that try to steer clear away from the whole concept of bullying without there being some weird mythological reason for either the bullies to start becoming your friends, case in point, fucking Yu-Gi-Oh, or you having a situation or a thing that kind of puts the bully in their place at some point in time, and then everyone just kind of forgets about the interactions altogether. Typical shonen thing, but in this series being a seinen and being far more mature and realistic, you kind of was thinking that, you know, they would have something that would be far more appreciative than, well, the teacher started tripping and then everyone else kind of chilled out. Which is, and like I said, it was a cop-out as far as I'm concerned, but the sentiment of the arc is what I appreciated. The main character was feeling incredibly down at the fact that he couldn't do anything to help, and you can't fault him for that. And in considering his personality, how much these people mean to him, and all that, totally appreciated, welcoming, and understandable. So here's where the ball dropping, essentially, well, throughout this entire arc, the ball dropping is happening. But this is when they lose the fucking plot, dropping the ball, and it's just all over the place. And where essentially I myself lost interest in the story is in the fact that one of the things that this story plot tried to do in order to give the main character more of a input into what was going on is the fact that the main character essentially had a fake little delusional memory of he himself when he was a little kid being bullied and essentially feeling as if the middle sister spoke to him when he was bullied and how it would have made him feel better. It was very weird. It was very odd. It essentially didn't make any sense and it was unnecessary. Like I said, the sentiment of the fact that he couldn't do anything and except for just be there for her, and he couldn't do anything in this situation because generally you can't. You're not related to her by blood. You're not really family, you know? And it was like, you can't call up the school and have them do anything because the school themselves don't wish to do anything. There's nothing that could possibly happen, regardless who wants it. And it spoke volumes in terms of having that aspect added to it. But having it to where he himself felt that she helped him grow as a child because of just it's just a weird little delusionary part in that arc that's just wrong. It, like, so much of the story is itself is unnecessary in order for it to be, in order for him to gain that lesson of being there for people you care about. But that part alone was just so fucking weird. It was so out of place. Just all around, just awkward. It was just very awkward. And it turned me away from the story as a whole. But I still kept pushing on. But it wasn't until it got super bad that it just became like this thing of just being like, oh, no. So throughout the story, there have been a major focus with the second sister being someone who is interested in Rey. Also, I haven't gotten into how the sisters themselves met him. Now, Rey, when he was younger, essentially was brought out to drink. And he's a 15-year-old boy, but he was taken to a place where he was drinking, where they made him drink, you know, as a joke to see what would happen to him. And then he saw his stepsister, who is a pivotal character in his life, getting into a car with a man who he knows is already married and essentially constantly belittles and talks down about the sister in front of the main character. This man also happens to be a professional shogi player, and he himself is about nearly the same age as their father, the main dude's adopted father. So the girl, if you want a little backstory on her, the stepsister, she herself actually had a okay talent within shogi, but then was immediately shot down and told that there's no point in her even pursuing it, considering the fact that she just will never be that good, as far as her father was concerned. And he just like, ah, just forget about it. His son just automatically gave up about it and was just into video games. But the daughter actually wanted to pursue it, and she was just told that you are just pathetic compared to the main character, Rey, who ultimately never really wanted to outshine her, outclass her, or take her spot in her father and take her spot in his father in her father's eyes or anything like that. But he needed shogi as a means of survival within the household, not as a means of gaining praise. If he didn't play it well, he felt that he would have been cast aside. That's how he felt. That's how inadequate his mindset was. That's how he pursued the game of shogi. So upon that, the sister essentially gave up playing. The father kind of has inadequacies about, you know, a girl being that good in the game and things like that. And if you know shogi and how they actually structure females and males in when they do like the professionalism, it's really, really weird and fucked up. But that's just how they are, you know. It's like, that's just how they are. Hey, it's Japan. Oh my God, women being looked down in Japan? Next you're going to say, the sky is blue, what? But, so upon that, she had basically an inferiority complex around the main character. And in order for her to quell this inferiority complex, she is the main driving force behind his depression. She was someone who belittles him constantly. She would mistreat him in their own home. She would talk bad about him in multiple situations and concepts, multiple situations and times in their while they were living together and whatnot. One of the main reasons he wanted to move away was essentially to get away from her, as well as the father, who just kept pressuring him into the world of shogi and things like that, because it's suffocating to be in a situation like that. Trust me, it would be. And then you have her be a constant, like this constant anchor that he feels that he has to take care of, because he's the reason that she's in the state that she's in, when it's nobody's fault but your own. You know, but he's not like he's going to get that. He's this weird, awkward kid. But he feels that he has to take care of her because he's the reason that she's in the state that she's in. But then she uses those moments when he tries to uplift her as a way to bring him down. And in doing so, she would do things like figure out who he's playing in, like, the professional circuit and whatnot, and, like, who's his next person that he's challenging in a tournament or anything like that. And then she'll begin to tell him about the sob story that this character might have. The reason that, you know, if you beat this character in this tournament, he might never play again, because this is his last tournament that he can enter because he hasn't professionally won in so many years or whatnot. And these things would just tear him down as a person, and it would break him and chip away at his psyche over and over and over again. And she was this constant antagonist that he just never could get over because he was essentially a scaredy boy, if you want to sum it up in nice terms. He was generally a scaredy boy, but he was afraid of her as well as he felt a responsibility to try and protect her as well. And then you get into, and then this all leads into how he met the three sisters. Now, he met the oldest of the three sisters when he was taken out to be drinking at like a hostess club. And then while he was taken out drinking, he saw the older sister with a guy that essentially belittles and berates him and is like higher up in the shogi listings and things like that. A better player all around. And then the main character with his weak, pathetic, and drunk self, because he's a sickly little skinny 15-year-old Japanese boy, because, you know, muscle mass isn't a thing that they normally do, exercising and whatnot. He's a professional shogi player. So he immediately just basically gets pushed around and hit a couple of times. His land is flat on his ass, and then the sister promptly sees this happen, feels kind of bad that this is happening to her brother, stepbrother, or adopted brother, and promptly gets into the taxi cab with the guy that just beat up her brother, and they leave him there on the side of the road, drunk, inebriated, and hurt. He is then found by one of the hostess girls leaving, who happens to be the older sister of the three sisters, who promptly picks him up, takes him to her home, the strange kid, helps him go to bed, and then in the morning, he's just thrown aloof as to exactly what happened. They even give him a key to the house and tell him to lock up when he leaves, and he just feels incredibly awkward about the entire situation. She basically introduced him into a happy home, nice siblings, a warm, welcome place that wants you to come in and enjoy on a daily basis. Some place that you would just love to come to on a daily basis. Something that completely throws him for a loop because this is not anything that he's been used to. All of this is incredibly endearing and satisfying as hell when you're looking at March Comes In Like a Lion. And fantastically enough, this is played out well in all three forms of media that I witnessed this happen in. And I've looked at the manga, I've watched the anime, and I've seen the movies. And all of them tackled this part perfectly. Now, that being said, the moment that just wasn't a completely eye roll, I'm done with this shit moment, that after you understand the relationship, time has passed, shit has went down with these people and their bonds couldn't be any stronger. Hell, there's a moment where the sister is just berating him and talking down to him. And then you have the youngest sister, who's Momo, whose name is Momo, who's like a little girl, probably not even in elementary school. I'm not sure. But she is motherfucking adorable. And you have a moment with her essentially seeing Ray's adopted sister just talking bad about him. And she runs up and like is terrified of her, but is screaming at her to leave him alone. And then she calls her a witch. So this makes the sister feel awkward and she kind of leaves or whatever. And then they talk about how great a person Ray actually is, much to the sister's dismay. And then she kind of scoffs and walks off and whatnot. And the series itself tries to give way too many moments to sympathize with the sister, but because of her personality and whatnot, it's kind of hard to do that. It's like the series wants you to go like, oh no, she's a victim as well, but you just can't, and you shouldn't really, because just not a good person. But it's what the series tries to do. But essentially, that is a major faux pas that happens within the series, in multiple incidents where they just constantly keep trying to push some type of ideal as being an okay concept without actually giving any grounds behind it. You never see any moment where the sister is being nice to Ray. You just see moments where Ray just can't help but take care of the sister, and she just accepts it. The girl comes over his house one time and eat up food that was made for him by the other sisters because he didn't come over. And she just promptly eats all the food and then doesn't apologize for it, doesn't really care, and then goes to sleep in his bed, and he just acts like, ha, oh, Nae-chan. And it's really ridiculous because it's trying to play off that this is an endearing moment and kind of a family situation, but it really isn't. It does the same thing with the adopted father by having it a moment where he wanted to tell him about something, but he felt that he probably would be bothering him or something like that. But then everyone in the entire series has to explain to him what father wouldn't want to hear good news from his son, whatnot. And then upon doing so, the dad is actually happy. But it doesn't change the fact that essentially this boy felt that if he wasn't good at shogi, he would have been abandoned. And as far as we can tell, considering how much this dude cares about the game, that is most likely a true concept. But that's the problem with March Comes In Like a Lion, is that this thing has multiple narratives that it wants you to accept without actually having the grounds to accept them. It's like everyone in the entire series is telling the main character, oh, you need to do this, you got to do that. So then when he does it, you as the reader can accept that was the right decision. But no, there's multiple times when you just wish that the main character would not do what everyone asked or appreciate or told him to do, because they don't know his situation. They don't understand everything that went on, and it'd be totally acceptable if he didn't rely on everyone for every little idea or situation that happened in his life. And then considering that the story itself kind of progresses and then eventually just succumbs to the aspect that he only does things after getting advice to do so, you kind of stop really taking any type of idea that he gets as his own, because his own ideas are just to drift aimlessly into nothingness. And then upon someone telling him, no, do that, then he's like, okay, I'll do that. Just a fleeting nothing of a person, a character with absolutely no type of drive or any type of his own will. Because if you was to equate something like that into his character, then you should have multiple moments where so many people tell him one thing, he does the exact opposite, and then things still work out in his favor because he came to that decision on his own, or he wanted this to go this way. Whether or not other people felt that it would be in his best interest, it would be something that he wanted to do. But you don't really get moments like that with his character. You just get him kind of feeling terrible about any and every situation or decision that he makes, regardless of whether or not it's something that someone helped him reach that path, or if it did good for him, or if it had to do bad for another. Everything is just negative to him. He's incredibly pessimistic, but it's not endearing in any type of facet of the word. It's just there. He just is pessimistic, and that's not really fun after a while. So again, you would have to wonder, well, then how could you enjoy a story like this if it eventually is this? Well, that goes back to the fact that the story itself in the beginning was endearing. His personality trait, as well as meeting the sisters and then the back and forth with the different people that he knows and the different situations that he would get himself in and things like that, and the different games he was playing, and you would see the severity of like either his depression, his trauma, or even his skills as a shogi player. Those things were the endearing aspects that let you keep the character going. As soon as this becomes a piece that just was a character study over like different psyches and depression and the moral ambiguity of like making certain decisions about certain other people and the futures of a career and whatnot, then the endearing aspect flies away. It no longer is endearing. This is boring. It's boring and uninteresting because you already had a boring and uninteresting character that I didn't grow to love. I've endured his everything about him. There's nothing about him that screams out, oh, this is a guy I'm willing to look at forever. No, this is a guy that you look at and you're like, what are you doing? Because that's how you allowed his character to grow. It was like he hasn't grown until this situation in his life allows him to grow. But now that we establish that he's dealing with this, he's still not growing. He's just rolling. He's just rolling along. He's moving with the punches. He's still him. He's not the evolved him. He's not an advanced him. He's just him still. He's still stagnant. He's still in the same spot. It's just that he now knows different people and his actions towards them are a little different. But him personally, no, he actually doesn't grow. So, leading into this factor, you have a moment in the story in which the girl's father comes back to try and live with them again. He comes back, they welcome him into the home, and then they try to talk to him. The main guy actually is completely against this, considering the fact that the father abandoned him. He's been gone for such a long time, and then I believe he's trying to get married to someone else. So, all of these things take place and whatnot, and then the sisters essentially promptly allow the main dude to understand that's their father. You don't understand what we're going through because you're not in a situation where you're dealing with what we're dealing with. Another moment that essentially there's something you just can't do. There's something you just can't do about this. We understand how you feel, but there's really nothing you can do. And again, this is promptly on the heels of him dealing with the whole bully situation with the other sister. So just when he was feeling more part of the family than ever, they essentially shut that down by establishing that you're not really a part of the family, you know? So we get that we care about you and we love you and everything like that, but you don't really have a, like, yeah. And it makes him feel terrible. And it rightfully should. But upon meeting the father, there are words that are spoken, if you will, between the father and the main character, with his back and forth against the father and whatnot. And in doing so, the main character then talks about the fact that they don't need him. They don't need the father, but the main dude is capable of taking care of them as soon as he graduates high school. So one of the things in the discussion is that the main character breaks down the fact that, like, he's a professional shogi player. He makes this amount of money every year, and it's more than the girls even thought. Like, there's multiple moments that is, like, really adorable within the show where they essentially they know that he plays shogi for a living, but then they don't know to the extent of exactly how big, how popular, and like how essentially like how famous he actually is within the shogi world. It was like he ain't the top player or nothing like that, but the motherfucker is known. I believe he's like a five dan in the beginning of the series. I'm not exactly sure. I believe I am not sure. And so like they see things like when he's on TV or when people are talking about his match that he already did and like whatnot. It's really, really interesting and funny because if you've ever been in a situation like that, you would understand, you know, and it's like, hey, this is something that's important to me and I do it, but it's not really that popular or well known. But within the confines and the circles that I travel in, I'm kind of a big deal, you know? And so seeing that was actually nice, and it's a nice little thing that they have going on within their story. And then what I'm getting to is the fact that essentially he then breaks down and talks about the fact that the main character breakdown talks about the fact that he'll be able to take care of them and they don't really need the father to come around. The father abandoned them, and he should understand that basically, hey, you thought to yourself that you didn't need your daughters. They had to struggle and make it to where they are now without you. And now you're trying to come back into their life and make decisions for them, and that's not right. And so all these things are things I totally agree with the main character. But then he says that he will marry the middle daughter, who is a middle school girl, while he's in his last year of high school. And then upon marrying them, they'll be fine. In which the middle daughter essentially freezes up and like flips out because it's like, what? And then the main character was like, oh, I'm sorry, I kind of like spoke in the heat of the moment. And it's like, whatever. And that was literally the point of the story where I stopped reading. I stopped caring about reading or looking at it or anything like that. And it just became unbearable for me to even care about the story anymore. Now, I personally have an issue with the Japanese take on essentially constantly having an older male character get with a younger female character. It's not the fact that it's been insanely done before, but it's the fact of how creepy it gets in certain aspects. There are just way too many fucking anime that try to sit there and persuade you that a younger female and an older male is just something to kind of accept. It's far more prominent within anime and different forms of Japanese media than anything else, other relationships. But then when you see the opposition, which is an older woman and a younger male, you see how like the relationship stories thereafter are very skewed. As with an older woman, the younger male has to have his entire life set and put together. Whether when it's the older male and the younger woman, it's generally just the concept of them getting to know each other. And that's as far as that goes. But it's like, other than that, then you're told like, oh yeah, they're definitely in love and then they're going to spend their lives together. Sometimes it goes so far as much as like 20 years apart or whatever. And it's still just fucking gross as far as I'm concerned. But when you're dealing with the opposition, which is an older woman and a younger man, then the younger man has to have a good job. He has to be able to provide. He has to do all this stuff. The woman has her own place, has her own job or whatever, is doing her own thing. She could be a widow. She could be someone who's single all these years and things like that. But essentially, the man has to just lay down all the cards on the table that he's capable of doing so much shit. And if he don't, then there's no way in hell this older woman is going to basically reciprocate his feelings for him. It's not like she got other people that's lining up to be with her, but I know that's not really a good take to have, but that's besides the point. But it's also not as if she does not care for the person. It's not like he doesn't do things that she's attracted to or anything like that. It's never put out there that obviously this woman just will not like this guy. No, it's just a simple fact that you don't meet certain criteria yet in order for us to date. And age is one of those criteria. It's really fucking dumb. And I've always hated it. And it's always been this ridiculous double standard concept, especially within the world of anime. Because how is it that you have a guy being with a little girl that's like in elementary school and the dude is like 20 something? That's cool. And we're okay with these things and we can allow this shit to happen. But you have the other way around and it's like, the fuck? But again, double standard on a creepy concept itself. But if you have a 20-year-old man trying to get with a 35, 36, 38-year-old woman or 40-year-old woman, then it's just the story has made you to believe that obviously the guy has got shit for brains. The woman is just adamant in the fact that like, yeah, I can't really accept you unless you're able to do this, 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 and this for me. And then whatever romantic story might be built up is a slow, arduous stretch in the face of them never really coming to terms with their actual feelings for one another. The boy laid how he felt out on the table, and then essentially you have to deal with the woman finally catching up, which she probably already was there, but then she just has that feeling of, well, I'm just so much older than him. I'm just so much older than him. Won't he feel bad? The guy told you that he loves you and he cares about you. So obviously he doesn't really care about the age factor. Why are you still holding that against him? All it does is prolong the story and just makes it such an arduous stretch to finally get to the conclusion where she finally accepts him. God. So upon seeing this, generally, I got disgusted. The middle sister is like a sister to him. At this point in time within the story, he has done a lot with her. They had multiple moments where they essentially have her walk around with him or him walk with her, listening to her problems, her listening to his problems and things like that. Generally, the same shit that they have the older sister do beforehand. Hell, you even have a moment where the middle sister brings up the fact that feeding him is like feeding a stranger. You're just making food for him, and he's the strange guy that you just brought into the house. And it's an adorable moment within the anime because the younger sister climbs onto the boy and she goes, wait, you're not my brother? I thought you were my brother. And it's like why are you not my brother? I thought we were family. And then it makes the middle sister feel bad, and then she apologizes to him about that and everything later. But the older sister essentially pulled him literally out of the gutter in a moment when he was at his most low. And she herself works at a damn hostess bar, as well as a cake shop ran by their family. And essentially, she's already old enough to be in the marriage age, as well as he's about to finally graduate high school. And then he'll in like like a in I don't know how long it is at that story till he's 16, or even if he is 16, that part in the story doesn't really matter. It would make so much fucking sense for him to have said that he was going to marry the older sister than it would have been for him to marry the middle sister. That is in middle school. I do not know why the story tried to push that. And then after that revelation is revealed, the story persists to make you believe that there is a romantic involvement that those two characters have. And it's fucking gross. It's stupid. It's stupid as hell, and is really dumb. Consider it is not, it's not just the fact that she's younger that I have an issue with. It's the factors that don't make sense. In order to prove a point to their father and essentially say that they will be financially stable once he marries within to the family, why would you go after the middle sister? And the person who actually means that should mean the most to you out of the sisters would be the older one, who is literally the one that pulled you out of the gutter. She is single. She's not with anyone. She's not in a relationship and whatnot. And she's always constantly working in order to take care of her family. Wouldn't it make sense for you to lessen her burden, the woman that opened up her home to you in the first fucking place, by essentially marrying her and then establishing that she no longer has to work at the hostess bar? She can put her entire time into making the cake shop incredibly profitable for some in some aspect. They can do whatever they want as soon as they get, as soon as you two get married. And essentially, it wouldn't be that far-fetched for you to have feelings for her, considering the fact that the same things that you've done with the middle sister in terms of trying to deepen a relationship are the same things you did with the older sister as well. There are no differences whatsoever. But the story itself constantly fucking pushed that, oh no, it's the middle sister that he has a deeper connection with. It's the middle sister that he likes more. And again, this goes back to the issue that I have with the story itself, is where it tries to narratively push something that isn't fucking there in order for you to sit there and get this pseudo payout at the end of it. And I hated it. And it wasn't more apparent than at that moment within the story. And it just threw me for a goddamn loop. I hated March Comes In Like a Lion for doing that, because it was a just a giant betrayal of this wonderful character piece, in which it just tarnished something that could have been a nice concept or a nice little thing into something that was just utterly like, what the fuck? And in considering the fact that you earlier in the story, you had a moment in which the middle sister was in a really liked this boy who played baseball. In fact, it was actually a giant part where he would come over to the house and talk about the fact that he even knew who the main guy was and how popular he was because of the fact that he played shogi, which is something that allowed the sisters to understand how popular he was in the world of shogi. And then you had that the middle sister just felt so prominent and adamant about liking the guy that it was such a big deal. Why would the main character forget it within the heat of the moment? Made absolutely no fucking sense. And they did this in the anime. It did this in the manga, and it did this in the fucking movie. Now, I don't know if the anime actually got that far. I don't know how far the second season got. I can't remember. But I know they did it in the movie to finish the whole arc that comes with the father and everything like that. And I fucking hated it. I couldn't stand it. Was just unfucking forgivable. Because it was just absolutely retarded. So gross. So odd. So weird. The girl is in middle school, years behind him. He's about to graduate high school. She is not going to be old enough to marry him for years. Also, we already know that she has someone else that she likes. And considering that they're Japanese, that's a big fucking deal. Especially because they're Japanese. Like, come on. Anime and manga showcasing a girl who has a crush on a guy. That's a pretty big fucking deal. Especially if this guy sometimes comes over to the house. Hell, the guy was even around during the whole bullying arc that they had within the story. And he also couldn't do anything to help her. But he also was there for her if she needed him to be. So again, why would you then have the main character just throw a curveball like that and then say this and then sit there and promptly announce in front of their fucking father that he's going to marry their middle daughter, as if that's just not the weirdest goddamn thing ever. And then even for him to just, like, to double down on it and be like, he can wait for her to graduate. He's fine with that. They can be married when she reaches this age, and then she'll just still be going to school and whatnot. I'm not going to stop her from achieving her dreams. And it's just like, what the fuck are you talking? Like, what? Like, seriously? And it just was such... it was just so terrible of a concept and a thing that happened within the story. Because again, there's just so many elements that would allow the older sister to be put in that situation, and it would have felt far more acceptable, considering the fact that the older sister is usually the front runner behind everything that involved or dealt with Rey in the first place. The older sister was the one who, again, I can't stress this enough, pulled his ass out of the fucking gutter. She has been the anchor in his entire history up until this point upon meeting the sisters. She has been the driving force to get him to come out of his shell. And when you had a moment to essentially establish that he would reciprocate this notion and appreciate all that she's done for her and essentially reach out and do one of the greatest possible things you could ever do for someone like that in any way, shape, or form. And you have him directed towards the middle sister simply because at this point in time, narratively, you've made her a giant focal point that the main character just can't stop talking about. Now, if I'm going to sit here and prick and prod at every little thing, give me one quick minute. Then I should go into just for my little final send-off thing about the story itself. Because up until that point, I didn't care to do anything else with March Comes In Like a Lion. I did not want to read it. I did not want to watch it anymore. I was done with the anime, done with the manga. And I believe the manga's still going. But I was just spent. And it was like, as long as that's a concept that's going on within the story, I don't really give a fuck. I just don't. Whatever he has to go through afterwards is just, ugh. And you would think, like, well, you like this. It was a nice little character piece. Like, why would that one thing turn you off from it so much? And it's like, well, that's the problem. I've already stated the fact that the character himself does not grow. He barely does anything. Eventually, the story itself started to snowball into the aspects of him just catering and understanding way more about other people than he himself actually growing and doing other things as well. He just gets so caught up with other people and other notions that he kind of plays as this giant exposition dump to unnecessary concepts and people. Now, you also have the giant and the most arduous pain that the series already has, which makes it a struggle to even deal with in the first place. And once you essentially added the aspect of his character that just made me just go, oh, fuck this guy, then yeah, there was no saving grace for me to ever come back to the series. But one of the biggest problems that this series has as a whole is the ridiculous detailed exposition that it gives off. There is nothing but ridiculous, long-winded, and overly exacerbated moments of this man talking about different situations and different problems that he's dealing with. You just have him constantly just trudging along, depressed and sad, and explaining every little detail of his feelings or what it's like. The wind is so cold, and I just can't feel it at all, but I know it's supposed to be cold, but I just can't. And it just goes on and on and on. And it's one of those things where it's a clear example of not understanding the media that you're dealing with, considering that the March Comes In Like a Lion movie happens to be my favorite iteration of the entire series. I know, fucking weird, right? But let me explain. The movie does something that neither the manga nor the anime can do. The manga nor the anime does. And the manga, I understand. I understand the manga being the way that it is perfectly. The anime, on the other hand, absolutely not. You out of your fucking mind. But again, anime manga adaptations never truly understand that which they the media that they're in. So whenever you adapt something from the manga, they typically always do this. But the movie got this down packed perfectly, in my opinion. And that is the fact to understand that you do not need to explain how your character is feeling when I can visually fucking see them. I don't need to know the hardships or the pain that's going through him while just seeing by having him narrate a constant fucking essay about his feelings on the matter of something that just isn't really necessary right now. Yes, you're sad, you're hungry, you feel bad. Like life is just continuing on as it always continues on. And then you have to make a slow little trek to the supermarket to buy food because you don't have any food. In the anime, this is explained to you in exasperably large detail. And then when he gets to the grocery store, he meets the sisters, which makes for a nice heartwarming moment. And then it's like, whatever. The movie showcases this fool get up, go to his fridge. He doesn't see anything. He grabs his stomach and then he does this long walk to a grocery store. We see the long walk to the grocery store. And then from there, we see him meet the sisters. His facial expressions, how slow he's moving, how he just seems uninterested in the task of even going and getting, doing something as basic as getting groceries. It's just all over his face. It's just, I don't want to do this. Rather than being told that he doesn't want to do this, I get to fucking see that he doesn't want to do this. And then upon meeting the sisters, he brightens up. He cheers up. He is back into this little happy family that he doesn't believe that he deserves. And then you have one of my favorite moments within the in the movie that essentially was just something that I couldn't stand the least in the manga. And that is a situation in which his sister tells him about a guy that essentially has to quit playing shogi if he loses to the main character. The guy loses to the main character, but he was going to celebrate his daughter's birthday because he got a divorce from his wife because he pursued playing shogi, even though the wife wanted him to get a different job because he wasn't progressing in the career. But he wanted to celebrate with his sister's, with his daughter's birthday or something like that if he won the match. The guy lost to the main character, and you can see the frustration on his face. He loses, and he had a gift that he was going to give his daughter, and then the main character grabs the gift, runs after the guy, and then tries to give it to him. The entire time, the main character was feeling bad because, again, this was another mind fuck that his that his adopted sister was dealing with him. And essentially, he was feeling terrible about beating the guy, but he still had his own reasons for winning because he had something that he wanted to do. So then he catches up with the guy, hands him back the present. The guy snatches it away from him, looks angry, and then just walks away. The main character then runs. He just runs. Just keeps running all the way, and it's like the sun's setting, and then as he runs, it's just pure nighttime. And then he just gets into this open little area, and he just screams out the top of his lungs, like, "It's not my fault you lost. Don't get mad at me. I'm not the one who forgot the present. It's not my fault that you're at where you're at." Just and he just goes on his spiel of things that essentially he wished he could have told the guy, or things that he should have said in his face. And I love that fucking scene. I love that scene to death because everything was there. The expression on the guy's face, the expression on the main character's face, the long run that he goes on up until the moment where he spills out all his emotions and his feelings and whatnot. And if it wasn't for the fact that I already knew that was going to happen because I had prior to that, I've already seen that happen on the anime. When it was delivered, I felt it felt stronger. Because I just saw that there was something swelling up within the main character, and then when he finally bellowed it out, it came off as far of a bigger sentiment, and so uncharacteristic for someone like him at this point in time, who's constantly been keeping everything on the inside. So in the anime, you just have an overlong, constant monologue dealing with his feelings at every single moment throughout their entire interaction with the guy. Him going, "Oh no, he left his present." Him saying, I gotta catch up to him. Him constantly narrating almost every fucking thing that's going on. It's being explained to you, every fucking thing that's going on. The main character, while he's running, even letting you know that I feel bad, like I feel angry, like how could he do that? Like why did he look at me like that? Things like that. And it's just, you hear him go over everything over and over and over again to the point where he finally screams out. You're just hearing what he's been saying all over again, just now it's out loud. The sentiment is not as strong as it once was. The impactfulness is not there. It was taken away because essentially I already knew what he was thinking and what he was feeling. So him yelling it out, this is a nice moment for his character. But as far as me who's indulging into this, I could care less. It came off as a moment that was like whatever to me when I watched the anime. Yet when I saw the movie, it was my favorite part in the whole fucking movie because it did what the anime should have done. It allows you to understand you don't need someone to tell you every fucking thing that's going on. I can see it, bitch. So let me just watch this. And because of the lack of this, these moments that essentially happened within both the manga and the anime, where other reasons I was just slowly but surely making me not really care about the overall story or the characters or anything like that. Essentially, the movies, there's only two of them, and they sum up everything that you really need to know about the story as a whole perfectly. It's sad but true. And honestly, I like the movies more than I like both the anime and the manga. But in more particular, I like the first movie more than the anime and the manga. But it really tackles all of the moments that are important to the main character, as those should be the only moments that you actually have to witness. It took away all of the bullshit that's included in both the anime and the manga that deals with him going over and constantly stressing out over other people and their problems, dealing with situations that he has no control over. There's things that he's not even a part of, yet you have to get huge detailed explanations about these other people who just don't really fucking matter. And then once the story is done with these people, you might see them every now and again, but essentially their part of the story is done. And so then you have to wonder, then what the fuck was I even, why did they go into such a huge spiel about the brother of the main guys, of the main character's rival, dealing with the fact that he just really wants to play in his hometown, but he just can't beat this guy that's a prodigy. It did nothing. It did absolutely nothing for me as a reader or a watcher or anyone who was interested in the story, because yeah, you kind of felt for the guy, but he wasn't the main character. It's not like I've been watching this dude since the beginning along like with other players who knew the main character early on or anything like that, but it's like I understood this dude had an important thing to deal with, and the main character understood that it was an important thing for him to deal with, but he couldn't cross that hump. The end. Like that was it. So it just really ridiculous elements within the story and really ridiculous concepts with characters and explanations that go on forever that is just not necessary. But absolute worst aspect of March Comes In Like a Lion is them bringing in arcs that just aren't really at their core related to the main character any facet of the word. You have him having these disillusioned moments where he puts himself in two said arcs that don't really necessarily matter to him. Story elements that try to direct you to believe that this is the natural and the appropriate approach that the story is supposed to take place in. And then having the most ridiculous concept of this motherfucker proposing to a girl that's in middle school while he himself is in high school. Whether the story actually concludes with this or they take it as far as they should take it or whatever, that's besides the point. He said what he said. I did not like it. I'm done with it. But then you just have the missed opportunity of using the media that's been presented in front of you by basically either ripping or copying directly from the light novel or the manga in terms of dealing with this character and his horrible depression and just going into just overlapping and unrelenting detail into his depression that essentially just, it's not really necessary in terms of certain media being incorporating it, but that's neither here nor there. So I truly believe that March Comes In Like a Lion is a good enough story. Like I said, I was interested in it. I liked it. It just got to a certain point where it just dropped the fucking ball and it just could never pick it back up as far as I'm concerned. There was no way it could pick it back up because it already did what it had did. Also, if you want to know about what happened with the dad, they had basically a situation where they went out with the dad and spent like a whole day with him, and then they all decided like, yeah, they're not going to go live with him and like they're gonna go and tell Ray, you know, their decision and whatnot. But they honestly should have like called him or texted him beforehand instead of just making him be incredibly pressured and feeling bad about the entire situation, especially knowing how he is and who he is at that point in time. It just seems like a huge mind fuck to give to that guy. It's like it's one of those situations where it's like if you know the person you're dealing with is kind of mentally unstable, you don't fuck with them, you know? It's like you don't really do things that would put them on edge. Or if someone is generally worried about you and they're saying like, hey, like, you know, when you get home, make sure you call me because like you said your tires went out or something. So like, hey, like just let me know, like, you know, like you said they're on their way and they're fixing your tires now. Just let me know when you get home so I know like you're okay. And then you don't call them for like 3 weeks. And then you go, and then like they call and they're like, yo, like you're not dead. Like, oh yeah, I totally forgot. Like when you do shit like that, it's kind of fucked up. And like the person's like, yo, I called the police because like, you didn't contact me or anything like that. Oh yeah, just I guess I must have fell asleep on my phone. Like some stupid shit like that. But overall, like I said, I generally would sit down and watch the movies as they tackle the story structure and everything a lot better. Hell, they even do the arc, the bullying arc and everything. So they kind of wrap that shit up in a prominent manner. So I would more check out the movies more than anything. And that would be my only recommendation in terms of the series. But the anime is adorable, so you could watch it, but eventually you'll get to the parts that I'm talking about and understand, and it's kind of one of those animes that you watch and you kind of have going fast forward, so you can just wrap that shit up. Because it'll just be talking about a whole lot of nothing for a whole lot of for a whole lot. But other than that, that's all I can tell you. So with that, I'm going to end it right here. This has been another episode of Fun with Flame. I've been your host, Daniel the Flame. I appreciate everyone who listened in this long and listened to me rip and rave about this manga and anime and movie that I generally had not high hopes, but I generally enjoyed that just happened to drop the fucking ball. But I've been your host, Daniel the Flame, and as always, good people, hope you had fun.